From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs on a Red Friday. It's Raiders week and the game is almost here. We're brought to you by Pepsi, and this season, it's very different. Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day. Whether it's in Las Vegas or in Arrowhead, no matter how you watch, they'll get you ready. Pepsi's the refreshment you need to power through the game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, the passionate fans that are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Now, we have plenty to get to. How they're going to do this, what they're going to do, who they're going to be there. But we got a little bit of news as well. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics, and your host at RGR Football on YouTube.
And I'm Chris Clark. Thank you all for listening. We do appreciate it. And welcome to another Red Friday edition of Locked On Chiefs. This is Raiders week, and it is a big game coming up on Sunday. When we jump into the news that we got today, looks like Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher have been taken off the COVID-19 list. Unfortunately for Kansas City, it looks like Schwartz is still not practicing.
Yeah, disappointing. We had all theorized that the bye week was going to give him enough time to recover, to get his back straightened out. And clearly, that doesn't appear to be the case. Now, maybe that was just a slight complication because of the COVID thing. Maybe not. At this point, I take all predictions off the table. I don't know when Mitch Schwartz is going to play again.
Yeah, I think Kansas City thought he was going to be back sooner than he has been. And that's why they didn't put him on IR. And at this point, it's just a matter of when they can get it figured out. And for a guy his size, a back injury is a big deal. So you got to think that it's going to be something that is going to be hit or miss over the next couple of weeks. The bigger question and what we don't know is his backup in Rimmer's going to be able to play? He was limited in practice yesterday. We don't know whether or not he's going to be a full participant or not. He's going to at least be limited today. It's possible Kansas City is just going to be limiting him all week and he'll play on Sunday. We just don't know right now.
Yeah, that's the biggest question. As you try to shuffle, at least you can count on Patrick's blind side is going to have its normal protection, which I think not only helps clearly the passing game, but I think against this particular team will help in the run game as well, because I think Eric Fisher is a guy that has a tendency to get nasty, especially against the Raiders, and I think that's a positive sign.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at what this game means for Kansas City. You know, I talked about it all in the crossover episode with Q. They lose this game. Kansas City loses this game. The Raiders are one game back, and they have basically a one game advantage of Kansas City in the division. So Kansas City were to stumble at any other time throughout the rest of the season, they could end up being the number two team in the division because the Raiders will beat them twice.
Yeah, that's just clearly unacceptable. I can't see that happening in any way, shape, or form. We'll talk about that towards the bottom of the show when we give you what we think will happen, but that's significant because these players have put so much effort into, you know, preparing, staying healthy as much as they can. I feel like this is not something they're going to let slip by them.
No, I agree with you completely on that. The big question is, and something that was mentioned and been asked of me on Twitter is Mecole Hardman out for this game? I would think he is, but the Kansas City Chiefs are making it sound like it's possible he'll play. So it's hard for me to understand how that's possible with the time frame of when he tested positive. But I mean, if he has enough negative tests and the time is lapsed, then time is lapsed. So I guess we'll see on that. They're talking about Tyreek Hill taking over the punt return duties. I still kind of find that funny. I would think it would be Byron Pringle, not Tyreek Hill, but we'll see.
Well, when Eric Bieniemy says, you know, we're going to replace our best returner with the guy that's actually better than him that we don't let return anymore, I think that's a sign to tell you, as much as they want to downplay this game and it's not revenge and whatever, they're out to win it, period. And if that means Tyreek takes kicks, okay.
Well, the bigger thing is when it comes to that is the defense has got to get stops. So to force the punts for it to even matter. So we'll see how that ends up. I do expect that Pringle is going to be the kickoff returner regardless, because I just think that that's going to end up being the way it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with you, too. I would like to see that, too. Save a little bit of wear and tear. Save a couple of collisions on whoever, whether it's Hardman or Hill. Any collision you can avoid, I think, is probably a plus to your overall offensive output.
Yep. So Kansas City, you know, and honestly, the bigger question when it comes to the Raiders right now is who are they going to have healthy? Who are they going to have that they can get off their own list? Cleveland Farrell obviously isn't playing in this game, but they got a ton of people on their defense that are on the COVID-19 list. All of them, except for Farrell, sound like they could possibly be back, but we'll see.
Yeah, and I will try, folks, to do a little live thing either on Twitter or YouTube or Instagram. I don't know, maybe on all of them on Sunday morning, because that's most likely the time that we're going to find out.
Yeah. And it does sound like they can activate them on Sunday from that list, which is a little bit different than the NFL normally does with injuries and such. So that makes sense, though, with what they're dealing with.
It does. We're going to get into the details, matchups, keys, how they can get this done, depending on who they're playing here. On the backside of this, this football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for the game no matter how you watch. Pepsi's the refreshment you need to power through this game and all the others to become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are our generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. So it always slips by me. This is a Sunday night game. This is another prime time. So this is just one more notch up the rungs of, hey, get yourself ready to play, because the entire nation is watching and they want to see if you will go and correct that mistake that you allowed to happen the first time.
Yeah, and we know how Patrick Mahomes has played in primetime games. He usually gets a little amped up, and that doesn't necessarily translate well. So we're hoping that that he's continued to get that under control, because I think he's played better in primetime games this year than he has in the past. But you got to expect that he's going to be even more primed up for this game, considering that this is their only loss.
Yeah, it certainly got to be. And for the first time in not only Patrick's career, but in Derek Carr's career, this is something where Carr's been playing like we saw when they played the Chiefs the first time. He's been playing like that, taking deep shots throughout this season for the first time. And this is something where no matter what they give you, Patrick's going to take his deep shots, but apparently Carr is too, and I don't see them going away from that concept.
I don't see them going away from the concept. The thing that could change in this game, and the thing that I think is key for Kansas City, is they have to stay sound as a defense. One of the big things that I think really played into that Week 5 game that nobody's really talking about is you have a new corner coming into the mix that hadn't played within the first 4 weeks. Breland being back in the roster really helps from a depth perspective and from improving your corner perspective, and I completely agree with that. But he hadn't been there for 4 weeks. The communication and everything needs to be something that they get under control, and they have it under control and figured out from the get-go this game.
Yeah, I mean, mental lapses is the name of the game, and like you said, on the defensive side especially, but there were multiple scores brought back by penalties in that game as well. So it's got to be all around in every aspect, a step or three or five steps above what they gave the Raiders the last time.
Yeah. And you're looking at this game and you go into it with Sammy Watkins returning. It sounds like he's fully healthy and looking good. So that's going to be a plus. The last time he played for Kansas City and was fully healthy was the first part of that Raiders game where the offense came out clicking. And then he went out and they struggled a little bit. So, you know, him coming back could be big. Without Hardman, it's going to change a little bit of what Kansas City can do, but they still have their main three weapons, or their main other two weapons in Hill and Kelsey. Which, speaking of which, I do want to mention this because it was tweeted out and I tweeted about it a little bit. Kelsey is 5 receptions away from passing Tony Gonzalez for most receptions, second most receptions by a tight end in the first 8 years of his career. And that's significant, especially considering Kelsey didn't play his entire freshman year.
Right. I like that.
So, yeah. Well, and then you look at the fact, I mean, he could pass Jason Witten. He'd need to average a little more than 7.5 catches per game. But all he really needs is one or two big games and continuing to get 5 or 6 every other game. And I think he'll get there. So I don't think he gets there, but it's going to be close to getting the most. And without having the whole first year, I mean, that's pretty insane.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just another step on the rung as they continue to try to run it back. I don't think that this is something that will take over his mindset, because I think this is, again, for him in particular.
Agreed.
Given how much he's been the X factor lately, I think that they're going to see that as well. And I think I'm glad Sammy's back, and I'm glad it sounds like Eric Bieniemy's very happy with the shape that he's in. That's a positive sign. But at the same time, I want to see them work the offense through Travis as it has been and be able to do what they do off of that. I think this is going to be a really unique game plan from the Raiders. I think the Chiefs have to do something a little bit out of the context as well.
Possibly. I will say this. The other thing I saw is Patrick Mahomes, if he throws 4 touchdowns and doesn't have an interception, he'll be the first quarterback in NFL history to throw for at least 4 touchdowns and no interceptions in 3 games straight. With the Raiders secondary the way it is, I would actually say that he has a pretty good chance of getting that.
Yeah, you know, one guy that stood out last week, though, was Heath, their safety. He had a heck of a game back there. Now, again, that's against Drew Lock, who clearly has been in and out of the lineup, and I can't say that this has been a very good year for his development, but he's not Patrick Mahomes by any stretch. But if there's one guy now, I mean, nothing against Trayvon Mullen or Arnett, some young corners that I think have some quality upside. Having a guy like Heath step out and make those plays last week was a little eye-opening for me, that you have to reevaluate the middle of the field, which is something that I think they should be attacking.
Well, and I would agree with you, although I will say, you know, Heath is the one that got the interception against Mahomes in week 5, which is his only interception on the year. I will say, however, I did find it interesting. I was watching GMFB the other day, and they were talking about how Patrick Mahomes' one interception was a bad decision on his part. It was fourth down. I'm sorry, I can't really fault him for throwing down the middle of the field and trying to get a first down, regardless of whether or not, you know, the Raiders see that as a plus because they were able to pick him off. You know, he tried to make a play. It didn't work out, and it was fourth down anyway. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, you never want to just throw a ball up, but if you are ever going to, when it's basically a turnover anyway, I can see your point, but I hope that they can stay away from it. I think, honestly, for Heath's better play of late, I think he's still easily deceivable with eye movement, and I expect them to go after him a little bit.
Honestly, the key for me in this game is really going to be Andy Reid versus their defensive coordinator. And I know that seems like a little bit of a cheap shot, but at the same time, Andy Reid's fired up for this game. Just the way he answered questions, you can tell he's fired up for this game. He would have been fired up for this game if it was just John Gruden, because he's friends with John Gruden and he doesn't like to get bested by his friends. But the Raiders gave him a little bit more extra this week, and I don't think that's going to pay off very well for them.
Yeah, that certainly feels like playing with fire, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And Andy's had 2 weeks to plan plays for this defense. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I was like, cue our normal rant about how Andy is undefeated after the bye.
Yeah. Well, it's not undefeated, but I mean, it's legitimately a huge advantage for Kansas City. And so you look at this game and you say, okay, well, defensively, the Raiders are bad. Kansas City is the second best offense in the NFL. That makes a lot of sense. Well, I just really don't know that you're going to see Kansas City's defense do what they did last time. Too many losses of communication, too many breakdowns in coverage. I can't see them replicating that this week. And I'm not trying to take anything away from the Raiders, because the Raiders did what they had to do. But, you know, Daniel Sorensen on the back end getting sucked up and getting, you know, thrown over the top, that can't happen this week. If they get rid of those mental mistakes, this game completely flips.
Well, and I guarantee you Tyrann Mathieu will be giving a little more credit to what Nelson Aguilar's able to do. Yep. Whether the catch is a ball, we'll see if that happens. On the backside, we're going to get into the keys and give you our predictions. We'd like to hear from you, too, so make sure you're tweeting over at Locked On Chiefs on Twitter. So at the end of the day, this isn't our normal show. The goal is to go. We'll get back to that next week. This one is such a unique matchup. We talked a lot about some of the details, but the keys, I think, come down to just a couple of things. One, that we already hit in the Chiefs offense attacking the secondary of the Las Vegas Raiders. I have to remind myself of that still every single time. But the one that I'm worried about on the other side, one that is a key for me, is especially dependent on who that right tackle is and how the Raiders deploy themselves. Here's a stat that won't make you very happy, but I feel like this is about to change. I feel like Frank Clark is turning himself up now, post bye, etc. But right now, Max Crosby leads the Raiders with 6 sacks, and that's ahead of Chris Jones, whose 5.5 tally is the highest on the Chiefs roster.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a concern. I think you have to look at, you know, the bigger thing when it comes to the Raiders and getting pressure on Mahomes is, can they get home with 4? And if they can get home with 4, that's going to give you problems. But I don't think, especially with Farrell being out, they're already going to be low at the defensive end position, especially talent-wise, because they're going to have to get somebody to bring in that doesn't have the talent of Farrell. And then you have all their other guys that may or may not play. We just don't know right now. And we're not going to know probably until game day. So, you know, if they end up having to go lower on their list with, you know, the guys that they have that are available to play, I think that really tilts it in Kansas City's favor. You know, the bigger question is how they're going to play their defensive ends, how they're going to play their defensive tackles. Are they going to go wide nines like they were doing the first time around? Or are they going to, you know, stay in more of a base set? If they go wide nines, then you have to be able to, you know, beat them at that game. Use that to your advantage.
Yeah, exactly. And there will be opportunity there. Since then, they've added Lev Bell, who I think you can split out a little bit more. I think this might be an opportunity for a game on both sides where the running backs get a lot more attention. Josh Jacobs is running really well. And I feel like this is a game where Willie Gay is going to have an opportunity, because what the Raiders set up the last week or two has been run, 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 emphasize, take shots. And I feel like that's what they want to do here. They want to try to get the Chiefs defense, particularly, into that lulled sense of security to try to get guys behind them again. I think that comes off of play action. I think they're going to lean into the run again, at least to start the game. And if that happens, then it looks like the Chiefs base defense is going to be on the field and Willie's going to have a chance to make some plays.
Yeah, and we'll see if that's the way they end up going. I do think that the Raiders are going to try to run the ball. The question is can Kansas City stop it? What we've seen in the past is Kansas City has gotten stronger against the run as the season wore on. That's something they absolutely need this week. They have to be better against the run than they've been because this is going to be a tough matchup. The key there, though, is you are right. If they start running the ball and they're able to run it well, and then they suck defenders up to try to stop the run, then they will go over the top and then it becomes a shootout again. And that's absolutely not what you want. So they've got to figure out how to do run blitzes and get Jacobs down and keep them in third and long type situations where you can get some pressure on Carr. And I do expect that Spagnuolo is going to blitz him. I'm not sure how much, but I do expect that he's going to blitz him. I think he's going to use the zero blitz on a semi-regular basis, which is scary at times, but at the same time, Kansas City, it's worked for him so far.
Well, yeah, and that really has been the key over his career. So if you can rattle Carr. Carr was pretty, I don't know if you'd say arrogant, but he was definitely happy post-game last time. And if you saw any of his press, he just felt like it was there all day long. That's something he kept saying. I guarantee you he will not feel like that after this, because Spags is not only going to change it up on the backside, but I agree with you. The blitz is going to come. I wonder if it's not going to be more of the replacement type zone blitz that we saw a few weeks ago where you have maybe an overload on one side. I don't really want to see Frank in coverage again. But if that's what you got to do to hit him and rattle him, you got to make contact with Carr, in my opinion.
Well, but I think Frank in coverage for a couple of snaps is not a big deal as long as you're getting home. Because I think what you have to see is that you have to make them try to figure out what's coming, and you have to make Carr think and try to figure out your defense before the snap. And I don't think that's something that Carr is great at. I think he's done better this year. But if he can't diagnose where the blitz is coming from, you're going to get hits on him, and it's going to rattle him because you know you can rattle Carr.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like the last time these two teams met, the Chiefs took the attitude that we're going to not give anything away on offense, and we're going to try to play sound defense and not really do anything specifically to attack any one aspect. Whereas now I think the Raiders are going to get the full game plan of we're going to go take out this team like we do when teams are more highly, you know, a threat to taking a win from the Chiefs.
Yeah, and I think that that's a huge deal. I think Kansas City was looking at the game, and I'm not going to say they overlooked the Raiders, but I think that in a way you could kind of overlook the Raiders considering your dominance of them lately. So I think that that's definitely something that could have played into that last game. But I will say this, of all the games that you've seen Kansas City do this or get ready to play this far so far this year, this is a game that it really sounds that the entire team is ready for. And that has got to worry you if you're a Raiders fan or a Raiders player, because you saw what this team did to Baltimore when they were locked in.
Yeah. I mean, and you'll hear people tell you, people that I respect tell you that, oh, this is searching for motivation. This is Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes doing the Tom Brady thing, making a molehill out of nothing. So you have something to fight against. I don't believe that. I've never heard Andy Reid speak like he did this week in his pressers. I think this means something for him. I think that equates to him keeping his foot down farther. We're going to see some special plays, I think. And I think he's going to attack and not be the cautious optimist to call it at 14 points. I expect to see more.
Yeah, I do too. I fully believe that Andy Reid is going to keep his foot on the pedal until they're at least three scores up, if not four. I really don't think, and I will say this, I think Kansas City has the ability to play the Raiders and get four scores up on them. I think they are a good enough team if they play in all three phases correctly. If their defense is on like it wasn't week five, that's a completely different ballgame. If Patrick Mahomes gets that long touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill and it doesn't get called back, that's a completely different ballgame. Because even that early in the game, the Raiders are going to have to change a little bit of what they're planning on doing because they're playing from behind so much.
Yep. And I think Josh Jacobs is going to hurt them. That's fine. But I agree with you. I think that this is something that, if it's not even coming from Andy, it's certainly going to come from Mahomes. I don't see them backing off at all. I see the Chiefs taking this away, staking their claim, planting their flag at Allegiant Stadium for the first time. I think it's 35-21 Chiefs.
You know, I look at this game and I think that Kansas City is going to win. I think that they're going to make a statement to the Raiders and really maybe even to the rest of the league. I think you look at that game in week five and Kansas City just had too many mistakes on defense. And the one thing that you can't do if you're a defense is you can't give up plays over the top. If you do that, then the offense is always going to be in the game. Kansas City gave up way too many plays over the top. If they can get it to where they're not giving any plays up over the top or even just one play over the top, that completely changes the dynamics of the ball game. And then Las Vegas is not going to be able to run the ball down your throat and try to keep up, because it doesn't matter if you run Jacobs 30 times. If he's only averaging 2.5-3 yards a carry, at some point you're going to stop them and you're going to get them to punt. And they're not going to be able to keep up because they're going to be punting and you're scoring touchdowns. Because I fully do believe that the Chiefs offense is going to be unleashed on Sunday night. For me, I look at this game and I think it could be a 3-score game when it's done. 35-21 makes a lot of sense. I'm going to go 38-21. I think that they get an extra field goal. And it could be, Kansas City hangs 40 on them. They have something to prove at this point, considering they lost the last game and the Raiders really did make a statement by going around the stadium an extra time. And say what you want about looking for motivation, that pissed Reed off. And I guarantee you that pissed a lot of players off.
And that's fair. I'm going to go out on a limb just because I trust him. I'm going to say there's no missed PATs this week either.
There you go. Got to hope for it.
Let us know what you think, folks. Does Harrison get it correct? Do they dominate these Raiders? I want to know what you think. Leave us a message at Locked On Chiefs or in the iTunes reviews. We need more of those. Everybody's taking a nap during the bye week. I get it. But let us know how we're doing, what you think of the show, what you want to hear. We appreciate all your time. Get ready for this game. We will have reaction for you like we do every week. So enjoy the game. Enjoy your weekend. We will talk to you post-game. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.